Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. As we're getting really close to the end of 1 Peter. And a reminder of how to live in this crazy world, right? And we live in a world that's hostile to Christianity. It breaks my heart because we talk about the COVID thing. And, as cases break out all over. But it's the churches that they just love to rake through the coals. And so my heart goes out to the pastor out in Brooks, because I knew I actually lived next door to him. He's my neighbor, as well as a fellow minister. And he's a great guy. And he's just torn up with all that's going on. So just pray for our brothers and sisters. As we look at this idea, last week we talked about that the church becomes so important in these times. Right? Church is essential. Contrary to what some of our politicians want to say, you need me and I need you. We're in this. And to know that we can pray for each other, encourage one another, right? I thought it was interesting that when all this kind of was going on, talking about all these rules and regulations, I was listening to a politician and talk about how, kind of likened church to like a sporting event. And a pastor spoke up and he said, there's a big difference there. You go to the sporting event, you don't know the person next to you. You may not care about the person next to you, but in churches, we love each other. And we care for each other, and we want to do what's good for everyone. And so we do care. And, the world needs that today. Needs that care. And so as he wraps up this letter, he starts talking about this reality of humility. And humility isn't one of those words we often like to hear. Actually, in the first century church, was in Rome, and humility was not a good thing to have. The Romans, their culture was based on strength and ambition and what you could do, right? You rule by force and by intimidation. And so humility was seen as a weakness, as a flaw. And when Jesus came onto the scene, what is this? What's this talk of humility? You think of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who ruled and reigned, and the angels came before and worshiped. You read the Old Testament, and the angels came and worshiped him, saying, "Holy, holy," right? That he humbled himself, that Jesus came and was born as a babe. I did a study on the humanity of Christ once. Talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus being God, but also he was man in all senses as we are. And I remember talking about how Jesus, came down from that throne, worshipped by angels, came down and was born and laid into a stable, and Jesus had a diaper. And I remember afterwards a lady got up, kind of in my face, and she goes, "Pastor, that was very disrespectful." And I'm like, "How? Jesus, he had a diaper. He was a baby." He goes, "Well, Jesus didn't have a diaper." That's a whole different miracle there. right? But that shows the extent of Jesus humbling himself to become like us. Then in here, he didn't have a home while he was here. Then he has traveled. Then he was mocked and ridiculed. That the soldiers took him and beat him and put him on a cross. And at any point, Jesus could have said, "Enough, you know who I am." The Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels and stopped it. But he didn't. He humbled himself to the point of the cross to suffer for you and for me. It's an amazing thing. Talk about this idea of humility. The dictionary definition of humility is this. It's freedom from pride or arrogance. It's the quality or state of being humble. To be humble. And we see this idea of pride, and I think really pride is the opposite of humility. And we're good at pride. Right? I got my opinions. I got my ambitions. I got my desires. I'm really good at worrying about me. Me. I often kind of joke, take a newborn babe, And that first year, you teach them that they're the center of the universe, right? A baby cries, we do everything to stop it, right? So we rush in and we feed and we change and we comfort, we rock, right? I mean, that whole first year of life, we teach this child that its needs are more important than anything else. Then we spend the rest of our lives trying to get that out of them, right? It's not about you anymore. But pride. The original sin was Satan, who rose up and said, I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. And Satan brought that lie down to man in the Garden of Eden. He says, look, if you will take of this fruit, you will be like God. Oh, I like that. And pride has been a problem. It is resistance against God. James tells us this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But humility is an interesting thing. Right? Because imagine going down to the library and picking off the book that says, Humility, How I Conquered It. Right? I mean, once you get to the point and say, look how humble I am. You've lost it. Right? Humility is one of those things that kind of spoils the whole pot. Because it's so easy in order the circumstances to turn around and put ourselves on top. You know, I love this is political season, and I love politicians. And I remember hearing sort of that politician answer. Someone asked someone what their greatest weakness was. Right? You know, like that, you know, what's your greatest weakness? And no politician, or actually no peer person, really wants to say what their weakness is. So this politician says, my weakness is that I care too much. And everyone was like, aw, right? Oh, wait a minute, that's not a humble answer. That's just talking about how great you are, right? So humility is one of those things that's hard to grasp at. It's hard to get because our pride and our ego are so powerful in us that it just wants to always exert itself. And God says he resists the proud. He resists that. He wants to give grace to the humble. And humility isn't thinking less of yourself. Right? We all know people, and maybe you struggle with this, sort of with that self-esteem type of issue. You know, I'm no good, or maybe I'm not as good as other people, and you know, it's sort of that Eeyore type of, oh, woe is me, right? And that's not what God wants us to be, right? That's not what humility is. It isn't debasing yourself, right? So it's interesting. When you look at people, we kind of get into this balance of, look, we have pride, who says, oh, look at me and how great I am, right? I mean, you have that end of the spectrum. And then you got the other end of the spectrum that's like, well, I'm worthless. I'm just scum between your toes. I mean, it's just kind of... Neither one of those is what God wants us to be. That's not what God wants. We are children of God. God gives us gifts and abilities to serve him, to be used by him. We're his children. We're special. Right? I found this quote by C.S. Lewis, and I think this really kind of wraps up the idea of humility. It says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Do you follow that? True humility is not thinking less of yourself, but is thinking of yourself less. And we see this idea of Christian humility is putting others first. And even the gifts and abilities that I have, God has given me to be used by him. And it's used to be called to serve others. And so the Christian life isn't about me, but it's about others. 1 Peter chapter 5, just two verses we're going to cover this morning. Cover this idea of humility and how it's really important as we see this world and how it's behaving. And as Christians, we will be different. And one of those issues is humility. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's interesting, James and Peter both quote this out of Psalms 3. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But he starts off and says, you younger people, I'll let you decide if you're the younger people. Right? But actually what this is in contrast, is the beginning of the chapter, Peter was talking, this is what we did last week, was talking to the elders, or talking to the pastors, to the bishops, who are overseeing the church, and how important church is, that God has set up pastors to watch over them, to care for the souls of those under his care, to teach them and feed them the word of God, and to minister to them. So in contrast, or in likewise, he says here, you younger people, be submissive to your elders. Right? So, to follow. But then he says, look, all of you, be what? Submissive. Peter loves that word, submissive. We've seen this through several chapters. But it means to put yourself under. All of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. And then he goes on and gives us three areas in our lives at which we can show humility, how we can put humility into action. And I think that's really what's important, not just the definition, but how can we do this. But he continues, he says, therefore humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And the first idea of submission here, humility is submission to others. Humility is submission to others, and this is how we show it. We put others' needs above our own. So notice what he says here. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed in humility. So humility is just putting others first. Putting others' cares and put other needs before our own. You know, this world is all about watching out for number one, right? Who's number one? It's me. I want to do what's best for me and what's going to get me ahead. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 20, he says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. It is not to be so among you, for whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your, what's that word? Be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. We know how the world works, right? If you got power, you have prestige, you have fame, you have money, then you can kind of do what you want, right? You can bully and you can push and you can get your way ahead. You know, right now, I think our political system, as we come up to an election, shows probably the worst of humanity, because we have people who are desperate for power. And they will do and say anything to get that. That's how the world works. And what God says is, look, you know what? The church shouldn't be this way. You want to be great? Serve. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Think of others first. It's just the opposite of the world. Right? And that's why the church should be different. You know, I've been in churches where there's been power trips, and I've been in church where there's been politics, you know. And I really disdain that sort of church politics where people get together and we whisper in secret and they get groups of people against other people and they divide and right? You maybe you've never been in a church that's been in that process. Aye. And the church acts just like the world. It doesn't work that way. Actually, the more authority you have, whether you're a pastor, deacon, even trustee, the more call that is to not to be a ruler, but to be a servant to the body, to serve the body. Not a badge to be. I was in a church and they were digging out some of the closet and they found this purple robe with this bright yellow gold sash. And someone's like, Pastor, you should wear this. So people will know that you're important. I was like, no way, no way. And it was funny because we were doing a baptismal service, and they're like, oh, Pastor, you need to wear this. And I'm like, no. You guys know me. I'm not a flashy guy. I'm not, right? And so someone was getting baptized, and they said, hey, my cousin's a pastor in this church. You know, is it okay if he comes and baptizes his nephew? I said, yeah, no problem. It's not about me. And so I have no problem with that. And so in the process of that, we were in a room talking, and all of a sudden this pastor came up and goes, look what I found. It was this purple robe. He goes, are you going to wear this? I was like, no. He goes, can I? Like, knock yourself out. And, you know, you put it on and, you know, look at. I'm like, dude, you're missing the whole point. The higher you are, and if you want to use that term, higher up in authority in God's kingdom, the more of a servant you're called to be. Called to be submissive, to serve, to put others' needs first. Paul told the Philippians this, he said, that nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I always tell people, I say, oh, you know, if people come and they want to sing or they want to do something like that, church is a great place to be because the people here want you to succeed. They're not waiting for you to mess up. We want each other to do well. I want what's best for you, and I will rejoice with you when God blesses you. Right? Let all these, not through selfish ambitions or conceit, not just people say, hey, look how great you are. But in here, be called to serve and submit to others in true humility. What can I do for you? You know, get out of my own head, get out of my own life, and how can I minister and serve to you? Paul told the Romans this, we looked at it Tuesday, make a plug for Tuesday Bible study, 6:30, right? Romans, we went over this last week. It says, for I say that through the grace given to you, given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each his own measure of faith. Right? Don't think you're all that. That your opinion's the only opinion. Don't think that your way's the only way. But to be attentive. And I love this idea here. He says, but be sober. And I almost think that has the idea of the thing straight. To be able to take a situation and take a step back from it. Right? Because you know what it's like. You've ever been toe-to-toe and you're struggling with something and you get more involved. You know, not that it ever happens like in our house, but you get to a dispute and you kind of just hunker down in your own ways. The best solution of that is to take a step back and say, okay, what's the big picture? Right? If you took me out of this, how would I see the situation? Because it's amazing how our pride and our ego really clouds our judgment, isn't it? But be sober about it. To take a step back and say, okay, what's best? What's best? How can this be more uniting? How can this be more helping others? How can this be more less about me, but take a step back? As God has dealt each one a measure of faith. And this is a real beautiful way. God has made us all different. And God has all given us different measures of faith in different areas. And what that means is that, you know what? One, I need to be understanding. Because God's only going to judge me for what he's put on my plate. Right? And that means God's only going to judge you what he has put on your plate. And so what that means, I shouldn't get haughty to judge you by according to my plate or what my ideas are, right? And so God has given each one of us gifts and abilities to be used, and we should be using them for each other. So in humility, the first one is to be submissive to one another. The second part is to yield to God. Is to yield to God. And I know this is interesting because we all say we're Christians. That means we are Christ followers, but sometimes we're not really good at it. Because have my own ideas that I want. Right? This is what Peter talks about here. He says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. God has a will for our lives that we are to follow. And we need to heed to. As Christians, one of the first things we should do in any given situation is, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What does your word say? Right? I know you guys are getting sick of politics, and I'm tired of the phone ringing. You know, I think Sarah Gideon and Jerry Golden are my best friends because they call me several times a day. You know, I didn't realize we were so close, but I guess they never leave a message, though, because I don't answer it. Right? But my vote belongs to God. I know some of you are getting tired of this, but it's true. And we need to look at, God, how would you want me to vote? What lines up with your word? And there are politicians and there are platforms that do not line up with God's word. And as Christians, I need to be willing to say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go under your mighty hand, and I will submit to my ideas, my viewpoints, all these things. I'm going to submit to your hand and follow you in what you want. Our choice is in our decision. Are we yielding to God and letting him have his work? And I will follow him no matter what. And there's two ways we can resist that. Paul told the Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. Right? I picture the Holy Spirit as that flame. At the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, a little flame went above everyone's head, right? I picture the Holy Spirit within us is that flame, and God wants that fire to roar within us. He wants us to be on fire for God and excited for him and following him, doing him and serving him and all these things. And yet what we can do in our lives is we take the cold water and we tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet. And through our doubts and fears and our own ideas, that we take this flame of God that should be roaring inside of us and we douse it down to just a flicker. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't resist him in your life by being disobedient. He tells the Ephesians this, is do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption, and let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Right, once again, when the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit, God lives in you, and he goes everywhere you go. Right? He's along for the ride. And how many times do I take the Holy Spirit places where he doesn't want to go? How many times do I expose him by when I'm watching and when I'm listening to things that do not please him and it grieves him? How many times is God sad by what we do? And here, Paul links it really to kind of our attitudes. Is look, and let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. All these things find ourselves in our lives and we grieve the Spirit. And what we do is we get to a point sometimes in our lives where we resist the Holy Spirit or we say no to the Holy Spirit, that almost we get to a point where we don't hear him anymore. We hear all the noise and all the clamor and everything else that's going around, right? And we don't even hear the Holy Spirit anymore. And unfortunately, I think a lot of Christians don't even recognize truth, because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to lead us in the truth. And we're falling for the lies of this world, because we've quenched him and we've grieved him to a point where he really becomes ineffective in our lives. And it's a pride thing, because it's my ideas, my opinion. This is what I want, God. And it shouldn't be that way. Lastly, submission and humility comes out by casting our cares on him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you.
It's interesting because Peter puts this idea in with humility. And you think about it, what keeps us from bringing our cares or our needs to the Lord? And some of it is our pride, our arrogance. Right? How many times is it, I got this, I'm going to do it, I got a plan, and we leave God out of it? Or, what's even scarier, is we talk about the idea of worry and fear and doubt, and we are so at home with it that we hang on to it. You know, as much as I don't like that fear and doubt, it's amazing how much I don't want to let it go. And I keep going back to it. I let it rule me. And when we do that, because it's about us and not about God. Matthew chapter 6 is a wonderful chapter on worry. And part of it goes on and says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Don't worry. How many of you guys have conquered that? But really, worry is lack of faith. Because you can say, well, Pastor, you know, I come and I bring my cares and I bring them down to Jesus' feet. And Lord, this is what's going on in my life. And Lord, I need your help. And Lord, you know, all these things are going on. And Lord, I need you. And then we get up and what do? We pick all that back up and take our worries home with us. Right? Jesus says, look, humility is truly saying, God, I need you. I can't. And unfortunately, what happens is, oftentimes when we come to God, that's our last resort, right? I'm at the end of my rope. I can't take this anymore, right? This is all the language. And now I'm coming to God in prayer. And God says, no, no, no. Come to me first. Seek me out first. And actually later on in that same chapter, he says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not, what? Worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Suffice it for the day, its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today. And how do I take care of today? By seeking out God first. Right? I don't have to worry about me because God's going to take care of me. Lord, help me serve you. I don't have to worry about me because God's going to take care of me. Lord, help me serve others. Help me think about others. I can let go. Right? I can let go because God cares for me. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God cares for you? Because if you're worrying, you don't believe that. Well, God will take care of me in this area, in this area, in this area. Well, this one I got to take care of myself. No. And what happens is we look at this and we live in this day and age. Folks, the world's going to wonder what's up with us. Because we don't worry like they do. We don't seek power and ambition like they do. But in here we have humility of putting God first. Putting others first. Trusting that God will take care of me. And when we find that place, there's perfect rest. I don't know about you, but I need that rest in this crazy world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, this call to humility, genuine humility, Lord, only comes by putting you first, yielding to your hand, taking my cares and laying them at your feet and leaving them there.
and Lord, to serve and submit to others. Lord, help me to die to myself. Help me to decrease. And Lord, help me to lift you up and you increase. And Lord, I can only do that through your Spirit. We ask this in your name.